Welcome to the View My Seats podcast for Wednesday, April 15th. I'm your host, John Lord. The NHL playoffs commence this evening with several games, including the New York Islanders opening their best-of-seven series against the Washington Capitals. The Islanders haven't won a playoff series since 1993, and this season also marks the final time the team will play its home games at the Nassau Coliseum, as they will begin play at Brooklyn's Barclays Center next year. My guest today, Chris Vaccaro, is an author and professor at Hofstra University, whose recent article for Rolling Stone titled Requiem for the Coliseum, The Islanders' Last Stand at Fort Neverlose, covered the team's bittersweet regular season finale at the Nassau Coliseum. The first question I had for you is how exactly Nassau Coliseum became known as Fort Neverlose.
Well, I mean, really, it all happened in the early 80s, late 70s when, you know, the Islanders were becoming a dynasty. 19 straight consecutive playoff series victories sort of speak for itself. I mean, four straight Stanley Cups. Basically, the Islanders just never lost at the Coliseum. It was slightly before my time, so I was unfortunately didn't grow up during that era. I was born just after it, and I could just imagine what it was like to go to games there and just basically expecting them to win every single time. And an unprecedented era and just a special time for New York, but specifically Long Island.
And a lot of fans of hockey today don't understand that the Islanders were once, perhaps along with the Oilers, were the two preeminent franchises in all of hockey. You said it earlier, but they won, was it four Stanley Cups in a row?
The Islanders won four straight from 1979 through the early 80s, and then they played in a fifth Stanley Cup final and lost to the Oilers, who you mentioned. So the two teams that wear white, orange, and blue basically took over the 80s. I mean, they had the stronghold on hockey, on the playoffs, and on Stanley Cups for a long time. And again, just a special, special team with really a core group of guys that stayed around for about a decade. I mean, you're talking about guys like Mike Bossy and Clark Gillies and Bobby Nystrom and Billy Smith, Brian Trottier. I mean, the names go on and on. So there's no question about why they were so good and why they were basically unbeatable at home. The talent on the ice was just remarkable. You'll never get a team or a dynasty like that again.
How much of the team's success in the late 70s, early 80s can be attributed to their home ice advantage at the Nassau Coliseum? Did Islanders fans, I know it's a little bit before your era, but did Islanders fans take a lot of pride in that home ice advantage? Did the players themselves ever speak to how great it was to play in front of a raucous crowd in an arena like the Coliseum?
Absolutely. There's so many stories coming out now about players, retired players, Hall of Famers, really reminiscing about their old times on Long Island at the Coliseum specifically. And all of the stories have a common theme about the community itself. It's not just a hockey team. It's not just a professional sports team that happens to play in Nassau County. It's Long Island's team. It's the Island's guys that they can go and support and root for. And, you know, the guys used to hang out in the community. They used to go golf at the local golf courses. They used to drink at the local bars. They lived right there, right around the Coliseum. It's a blue-collar community, and they loved their hockey team because they felt that those players were a part of the community. So it was something special. And they got good very, very quickly. It wasn't like they waited decades to become a powerhouse. The team basically jumped on the scene in 1972, and within a few years, they were a playoff contender. And then a couple of years after that, they were winning titles. So it really captivated Long Island quickly, and it was just, like I said before, just a special, special time that we're still living through now. Because even though this is the last year where the Islanders are playing at the Coliseum, there were decades of memories built and special moments that were had by fans and players that we could still talk about all these years later because it was that monumental. It was that historic. And it means that much to Long Island.
Since it means that much to Long Island, it must be heartbreaking for so many fans that the team has decided to play its games starting next season in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. But I wonder how much perspective loyal fans of the Islanders have regarding this move. Is there nothing but ill will directed at ownership and the franchise for the decision to move to Brooklyn, or is there somewhat of a reticent understanding of why there was a need for a move? Because there was a lot of stuff that could have been made better with the situation on Long Island that could have perhaps improved the team's chances of staying in Nassau County. But do fans kind of have perspective about that, or are they just simply upset that the team's leaving?
It's a multi-layered answer to that question. There's a lot of different pieces involved. For the most part, I think if there's an Islanders fan out there, they're not happy about this. Very few, there's a minority of people who would say, yeah, I can't wait for the team to go to Brooklyn. It's going to be so great. The diehards, the true Long Islanders, the people who love this franchise for what it really is, which is Long Island's hometown team, they don't want this move. And, you know, maybe it would be a little bit more tolerable if politics didn't get in the way, if, you know, policy plans between ownership and the town of Hempstead. There is a lot of behind-the-scenes drama that has nothing to do with the product on the ice, that has nothing to do with the team itself. So that upsets a lot of people. And I was roaming through the parking lot talking to fans during the last regular season game last weekend. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. That's the word you mentioned. It really is. Because people, a lot of the people I spoke to, myself included, listen, I grew up going to Islanders games when I was 5 years old. My dad taking me to games. There's nothing like it. It's a special place. And, you know, most of the fans that I were talking to, they grew up there. Their parents took them there. There's multiple generations of season ticket holders. They don't want to see that go. And regardless of the fact that the Barclays Center is just 20, 25 miles away west of where the Coliseum is right now, that really is the other part of the story. Difficult for a lot of Long Islanders to get to, because people who live in Suffolk County, out east from the Coliseum, now they have to take the Long Island Railroad, and they have to transfer at Jamaica to get to Atlantic Terminal. The 35, 40-minute drive to the Coliseum is now an hour and a half to two-hour train commute. So there's just, between the politics, between the added pressure of how to get there now, it leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, and it's unfortunate because at the end of the day, this is a hockey team that people wanted to root for and just call their own. And it, again, even though it's Brooklyn and it's not Kansas City or it's not Quebec, it's still losing what it was. It's not going to be the same anymore.
Chris, do you think if the team were more successful, if had a more successful run after its early success, that the team would still be moving? Because for a while there, the Islanders were frankly not a very good hockey team. If they had experienced more success recently, do you think we'd still be talking about moving to Brooklyn?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's definitely something there where, of course, for most of the 90s and really most of the last 20 years, there have only been a couple of really good seasons, a couple of playoff teams that the Islanders have had. So, you know, if this was a team that was winning championships over the last 20 years, maybe this story would be a little different. But I still think the politics and the drama from the county and from the town of Hempstead, it would still be there. You know, there's still some people involved that prohibited any new dealings and any new buildings and renovations that were going up, you know, when all these conversations were being had. So it's tough to say. You know, I don't know the exact decision-making process of why it had to happen. And then all of a sudden now they are renovating the Coliseum later this year. So the course of events and the timeline is kind of funny, and you shake your head at it and say, well, why couldn't this just be resolved a year or two ago in the same light, and then the Islanders wouldn't be moving? But, you know, if they were good, if they were winning championships over the last 10, 15 years, maybe none of this would be a conversation. Maybe the change of tone and how people treat the franchise is a direct reflection on their success or lack of.
I imagine that attendance at Islanders home games at the Nassau Coliseum this year was pretty good. How's it been the last 10 or so years?
Not as good as this year, I'll tell you.
Right.
The attendance is not through the roof when they're not producing, high caliber rosters that are winning. So, you know, that's like any city, though. There's a lot of cities that if the team is not that good, the fans aren't going to come as a consistent basis and sell out like they are this year. And there's a couple of different things happening this year between the team being very good and also just it being the last historic and final season of the Coliseum. So it's like the perfect storm of attendance now. But yeah, I mean, if they weren't good, which they haven't been amazing, the attendance has been lower. And I'm sure that opens up some eyes and raises questions and concerns. And that's why we're in the situation we're in now with the team.
You mentioned how difficult it's going to be for some Islanders fans, some hardcore Islanders fans, to make it into the Barclays Center next year. What's your sense of how the fan base is going to, I don't know if change is the right word, but how will the fan base be different next year when the team plays its home games in the Barclays Center? Do you expect to see new fans popping up in the outer boroughs of New York City, or will the old guard still be able to make it into games even though it's that much more difficult?
Yeah, I think that's the question that everyone has right now, and that's the one thing we're all anxious to see is this fan base of what it's going to be. And I don't know if there's a right answer to it. I think it's going to be a little bit of a mixture of everything. I'm sure they're going to be losing a lot of people that just don't want to make the commute into Brooklyn. There's, you know, poor parking situation, people not wanting to deal with mass transit when they're used to just their cars and getting to the Coliseum from the Meadowbrook and Hempstead Turnpike and Northern State or Southern State Parkways. It's just easier to drive than it is to go to Brooklyn. So I think there's going to be this mixture of some people who are going to make the new trip in, and there's going to be some new hockey fans that they make in Brooklyn that aren't used to the sport. But then you have to deal with also, I mean, this is New York City. There's already a franchise in the city. So it's not like people are going to defect from being Ranger fans to becoming Islander fans. So it's not exactly going to be an easy, clear-cut, hey, everyone's an Islanders fan now in all five boroughs. So they have to figure out, and really, I guess I hope the marketing department is on their A game with this to attract new people, to make sure that this isn't a gimmick, to make sure that this is a serious franchise with tradition and history that now is a contender. So they have their work cut out for them, of course, attracting old fans, but also new ones. And I'm really interested to see what that balance is. In my talking with a lot of fans, you know, there's people that have had season tickets since 72, as I wrote about in the Rolling Stone article. A couple of those people I spoke to, they're not renewing their season tickets. They're done.
Right, yeah.
They basically told me they're going to see how it goes for the first year or so, just to see how many trains they add for Long Island Railroad, what the prices are going to be, what the quality of hockey is going to be, and then what's the quality of the viewpoints in the stadium itself. I don't know if you've seen, there's been plenty of stories.
I have, yeah. Explain them, though. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I've seen firsthand during some of these preseason scrimmages where they played the Devils a couple years back. I was there. First of all, the scoreboard is not over center ice. Second of all, there are certain bars and things in front of your viewpoints from certain parts of the arena where it's just blocking what you're able to see on the ice. So, simply put, it was not made for hockey. So there are many seats there that are not optimal or ideal. And in comparison, in juxtaposition to what the Coliseum has, there's not a bad seat in the house in the Coliseum. So, you know, there are some people that just don't want to see less than optimal views of the ice. And so there's all these things that people are going to be considering that the team has to deal with, and lots of question marks up in the air. And we haven't even spoke about, maybe we're going to get to this, will they change the name of the team? Will they change the famous orange and blue colors? God forbid, will they change the logo? I mean, there's all these question marks that, of course, you know, ownership and the guys over at the Barclays Center have said, no, we're not going to change those items and those specific things. But those are some of the things I'm nervous about, just from a cultural and historic perspective, that'll turn a lot of the old guard off.
Well, if you're talking about the Barclays Center driving a lot of these decisions, then it stands to reason that perhaps a change in the colors and the names are in store for the franchise, because they very well could try to package the Islanders with the Nets, the NBA Nets, who play their home games at the Barclays Center. So that's certainly something to keep our eyes on. But you earlier were talking about some of the older players and the great history of the franchise and how these players were really a part of the communities throughout Long Island. I'm interested to know about the current players and what they think about the move to Brooklyn and how they fit in with the community. Is there this same sense that the players today have this same pull towards Long Island and will be missing the Nassau Coliseum as much as, say, the older eras? Or are players understanding and excited about the move to Brooklyn?
I think the era that we all live in now, everything is just very business mode. People are doing their jobs. They don't necessarily care about where they're playing, what's around them, as long as they're playing the game and playing well, which they are. The Coliseum versus the Barclays Center to a player isn't really a great talking point, because a lot of the players will say, yeah, the locker room is small. Yeah, the workout area and the training and session spots are not ideal. And everything is going to be new and crisp and clean and bigger at the Barclays. So for the players' perspective, they're probably not too upset about leaving the Coliseum. And they can say, and they do act very, you know, gracious towards the fans and the surroundings and everything that's been going on, especially this year. But you have to think players are somewhat excited about getting into something new and more modern. You know, from a player's perspective, that's got to be important. In terms of the community itself and them being involved in the community, the Islanders have had a very good community relations department for years, and they do a lot of outreach. Local school districts have players out every week. They have people coming into the Coliseum for games from multiple organizations throughout Long Island, lots of different sponsorship and marketing coordinations with the franchise. So yeah, they do a really good job of having players involved in the community. They live in the community. It's not like players are commuting from the city to play at the Coliseum. So they live within probably a 10-minute drive in the Garden City, Brookville area. And, you know, so it's inevitable that a team in the suburbs generally has all of its players living in the suburbs itself. So it's cool and it's special and it's different. You know, I can't say that players are going out and drinking beers with fans at local bars. Those times have changed, obviously. But they're there. And so that'll be lost, I'm sure, when players have to play in Brooklyn. No, they're probably going to live in the city. They'll live in the brownstones, in Brooklyn or maybe over in Queens. And it changes the viewpoint from everybody, from the fans to the players to ownership. People's commutes are different. Living standards and habits are different. So it's going to be a big change for everybody, not just the fans, but the people playing the game itself.
Let's talk about this season, because the Islanders had a very, very good year, as you mentioned earlier. They were streaky, though. They were prone to winning streaks, losing streaks, and it was kind of hard to figure how they'd play on any given night. But they had a much better season this season than they've had in recent years. So I wonder how optimistic Islander fans are about their upcoming opening series against the Washington Capitals. Do you feel fairly good as an Islanders fan going into the playoffs, or would you have preferred opening the playoffs against a team that's not playing as well as the Washington Capitals?
Yeah, you have to be optimistic, because what's the point of not? But we are in New York. I'm a New Yorker, a New York sports fan. Just you have that natural pessimism. And the fact that the Islanders have had a little bit of a skid in the last 6 weeks is unsettling. But at the same time, as any of the players and coaches will tell you, it is a new season. And, you know, the second season has begun. It's a clean slate. Mentality has changed. Their backs are up against it. I mean, this is it in terms of the Coliseum. So they know the fan base is very antsy and emotional. And the fans that come out, the 16,000 plus at the Coliseum for the home games, are going to be rabid and fired up. And the players will never have as much juice as they will in these games to just play as hard as they can for really a historic perspective. And it should be interesting. I'm coming at it as cautious optimism for the first round, and Washington is not an easy opponent. As you mentioned, they're very good. They're playing very good hockey right now. They have one of the best players in the world in Ovechkin and a good goalie and some good depth. But the Islanders have had fantastic depth on their roster all year. They were one of the best teams in the NHL and the Eastern Conference, so there's nothing to slouch about in terms of what the Islanders are going to bring in this first series. You have John Tavares, who is also one of the best players in the world, playing in one of his best seasons ever, and I expect him to carry a big, big burden on his shoulders here in terms of just being the leader and taking his game to another level and showing the world, basically, that, hey, you know, he's for real and this team is. And if we can get out of the first round, chances are they're going to play the Rangers in the second round, and God knows that's going to be an emotional series. So it's going to be an exciting couple weeks. I'm very, very excited for hockey in general, but especially Islanders hockey.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that series in the second round, that potential series in the second round that is looming here for all New York hockey fans, which is an Islanders-Rangers matchup. Can you explain the relationship between Islanders and Rangers fans and the two teams? Because it's something for hockey outsiders to really might not have a firm grasp of what the relationship between those two teams are. Because for a while there, the Rangers hadn't won a Stanley Cup in how many years? Was it 50-something years before 93, 94? And the Islanders had their up years in that in-between time. So what's the relationship like between Islanders and Rangers fans? Is there just nothing but hatred and disgust, or is there some sort of we share a city together feel?
No, not, there's nothing shared other than the hatred. It has to be one of the most volatile, angry, hated type rivalries in sports. I mean, people always joke around about Mets-Yankees. Well, they play in the American and the National League, so there's a difference in terms of what's going on. When the Islanders and Rangers battle each other, it's in the same division, in the same conference, and now in the new playoff alignment, everything's on the line. Now, regardless of playoffs, though, just it could be an early regular season game in October, November, and the fans are at each other's throats. I don't want to use the term special because it's definitely interesting in terms of what the rivalry means, but there really aren't many people who say, oh, I like both teams. You're one or the other in New York. And when the Islanders were absolutely fantastic in the 70s and 80s and the Rangers weren't, that was an interesting time. And then the Rangers got very good in the 90s and the Islanders were so-so for that party in 93-94. So the shift in paradigm of who's the great team in New York has really flip-flopped back and forth. And now both teams are very good. So at the bottom line, end of the day, it's good for New York, it's good for hockey, and it's going to be through-the-roof exciting. And could you imagine, A, the Islanders knocking off the Rangers and advancing, or B, the Rangers beating the Islanders in the last possible ever game at the Coliseum as another outcome? I mean, either way, it's... I don't even know what to think. I guess I hope it gets to that level where the Islanders can get out of the first round and hope for some good hockey. But, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out.
What is the you talked about how there is much disliking of the two fan bases, but what is the Islanders fans' perception of Rangers fans and vice versa? What do Rangers fans think about Islanders fans? Is there somewhat more of a cultural, socioeconomic spin that each fan base puts on the other? How does that relationship work throughout the years?
I don't think so. I don't think there's really anything socioeconomic because there's plenty, if not millions, of Ranger fans that live on Long Island. And they're mostly Islanders fans who live on Long Island, too. So, you know, they're coming from similar middle-class backgrounds. And, you know, there's definitely this stigma with Ranger fans and, the suits perspective of who has season tickets for Ranger games. And if you watch a Ranger game during the season, you see a lot of people, business executive, people coming from work in Manhattan that go to games there. So that's just a perception. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's just tons of Islanders and Ranger fans all over New York. In terms of the quality of hockey and in terms of the who's rooting for what and why, you got to remember the Rangers have been around as one of the original six teams. So there's just been tons of people who grew up Ranger fans in the 40s, 50s, 60s, well before the Islanders ever came around. And Long Island wasn't as populated in those dates. Many people who grew up in the five boroughs eventually moved their families out to Long Island, and some of those people became Islanders fans because it was new and it was something different, and they figured that was their hometown now, so they wound up rooting for them. So there's this mixture of people who are with the old guard and are Ranger fans from the beginning of time, and then there's these other people who just said, let's be Islanders fans. We live on Long Island, and let's do it that way. And so there's this interesting balance of why people root for whatever team it is that they like. I mean, I grew up an Islanders fan because of my family who, had lived on Long Island from the 60s and late 50s. So it's a lot of lineage type rooting in New York. And basically, I think a lot of people root for Islanders and Rangers based on what their parents and what their grandparents, aunts and uncles did. So it's interesting. I feel like it's unlike a lot of different places in the country because of the separation of decades between the two franchises, the separation of one playing in one of New York City and one playing in Nassau County in the suburb. So stark differences, but lots of similarities in the fan base.
Hopefully the Capitals and the Penguins will comply in the first round and roll over for the Rangers and the Islanders, and we'll get that series in the second round that I think all hockey fans are hoping for. Last question for you, Chris. If you could share with us your favorite one or two memories from Nassau Coliseum and the Islanders before the team relocates next year.
That's a good question. One is not a specific moment for the team, but I can remember my first Islanders game when I was about four years old. I remember they played the Flyers, and I remember being up in the 300s with my dad and my uncle, and just really for the first time watching what was going on in the arena around me and realizing the Let's Go Islanders chant, stomping my feet and hitting my legs at the same time and getting captivated by something that felt bigger than myself, and just knowing that and really feeling that this was an institution, and realizing that as a 4 or 5 year old is profound, because then you sort of live with that and you sort of understand that for the rest of your life. And so growing up with that tradition and that history set in my blood from an early age, thanks to my dad and my uncle, is special for me. I'll never forget those early games and of just learning what the Islanders were and how special it was for so many people. In terms of a specific moment, a game, something that, you know, happened on the ice, the Sean Bates goal against the Maple Leafs, the shootout goal, that was very, very special in the modern era.
When was that? When was that?
Early 2000s, I believe it was like 2002. So that was a playoff goal that Sean Bates scored that was just super special and put the Coliseum on its feet, of course, if they weren't already standing as it was. And then, you know, I was able to go to basically almost every playoff game the last 3 or 4 series that they've been in, and just so, you know, just to chalk it up as some of the special moments that the Coliseum has seen in recent years, I'm privileged and lucky to have been credentialed for many of those, covering many of them. And most recently, of course, the last regular season game at the Coliseum. I mean, it doesn't get any more special and historic than that. But we have, hopefully, memories yet to make in the next couple weeks as well, with the playoffs right here starting up. And so I'll be there on Sunday and Tuesday. And let's see if we can get out of the first round to continue this love affair with the Coliseum.
Well, Chris, good luck to you. Good luck to all Islanders fans. And hopefully we'll get that Islanders-Rangers matchup in the second round.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It was definitely fun to talk about Long Island, the Islanders, and the Coliseum.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris.